So I was recently down in Arizona in Phoenix for a conference slash also to visit my family. That's where I was born, and it moved up to Oregon around third grade, right? So my grandfather and aunts are still down there. So I brought my wife and children with me down there so they wouldn't be just Facebook distant people but actual family members, right? So they can meet. My grandfather had not yet met my youngest, Magdalena, and so she is a good girl, let me tell you. She's one, right? And she knew exactly what to do. Grandpas, they'd go to, like, you know, hold her and like, hold her on their lap, and she won't do it. She's, you know, busy little girl. But when she saw great-grandpa, she, like, reached for him at the airport and wanted to sit on his lap. Like, is that not a good girl? Right? That is good. And so I was excited, you know, so the family could have connections there. And so I went down. There's a lot of things I was prepared for, the conference and seeing family and whatnot. But there was something I wasn't prepared for that completely caught me off guard when I went down there. So we, you know, get from the airport to my grandfather's house where I was staying. And, you know, as a young kid, grew up there, right? I walk through the front door. And all of a sudden, my sense of smell just exploded. I smelled his house, right? And all of a sudden, these memories of my childhood came flooding back. I had been there 3 years ago when I buried or did the memorial service for my grandmother. But this time, I came through the front doors, and the smells brought me back to when I was a kid in the basement. We were playing kids' pool. You know, we were taking just the pool balls and rolling them into the corner pocket. We didn't know how to use the cue. That's a kid's pool, right? Like, memories of that came flooding back. Dinner at the table, all my aunts and uncles, all these memories came flooding back. In fact, it's the same table that I ate as a child that's still in his house today. So it was just a wonder. I wasn't prepared for how smells were going to bring back all these memories of a wonderful childhood with my aunts and uncles and all this, like, good stuff down there. Now, the church, that's where the conference is at, and I had a very similar experience there. I grew up at Christ Lutheran. That's where I was baptized at in Phoenix, Arizona. And so I was excited. My children there, I was going to take them to the baptismal font where I was baptized. And just so you know, for a like a Lutheran minister, taking your children to your baptismal font is like going to Vegas or like Disneyland. It's like a major thing for us. It's like one of the coolest things. So I was very excited for that. But once again, smells. I wasn't prepared. I get my badge for the conference, and I'm walking through the big wooden front doors, and all of a sudden, the smell of the sanctuary was exactly like when I was a child. And they just came flooding back, going to church with my family. And as a kid, I wanted to be two things, a pastor or a paleontologist. One worked out. So all these memories, again, smell. I was not prepared for what smell was going to do. It was a powerful tool when I was down there at my trip to Phoenix with my family at that time. Smell just has this ability to bring memories from the past and make them present today. Now, smell, powerful memory tool, and has a way of making us remember. And King David in Psalm 141 says this to us. He says in there, "Let my prayer rise up before you like incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." King David connects the intentions of his heart, that is of his will and his being, to the smells and remembrance of worshiping God. It's on 141 there. The smell of incense, of course, is a smell thing and is a visual reminders of prayer and bringing it all before God, right? And then sacrifice. Who's here ever killed some game meat? Okay, who's ever cooked meat? Right? You all know it's a very distinct smell that it puts off. And King David there was remembering the smell of the sacrifices and worshiping God, and it brought back so much of the wondrous things that God had done for David in his life, and he recalls it in Psalm 141. Memories and smell are a powerful thing. God gave Israel many ways to remember his gracious choosing and deliverance, But it wasn't only remembering that he wanted, right? Sure, he wanted to give Israel a chance to remember all these wonderful things he did for them, to bring the past present, but not just so they could remember, but that so they could trust that he is still working. This Lenten season, we are looking at all the ways the Bible helps us to remember, and remembering his wondrous works is what we're doing tonight. In our text, it says, he causes wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. So we want to look at some of these action areas where these events where Israel would remember things so they could trust in God. Now, in the Old Testament, what was the story? Where was the place and where they blasted trumpets around the building? Where was that? Right? It wasn't cannons or like big rocks. God caused deliverance of his people through trumpets because he is powerful, mighty, a strong arm to deliver his people. That was one area. Another area was when he delivered his people and did a wondrous thing was when Israel was wandering in the desert for 40 years and he fed them manna, right? Not the best tasting thing in the world, but it kept him alive. That's a pretty wondrous thing there in the desert. And the most important one, when we think about this wondrous works of deliverance, where God showed them who he was when he delivered them from slavery in Egypt. When they were leaving Egypt, he parted the Red Sea, and they went across the waters. And as the Egyptians were coming back to slaughter them or take them back into slavery, he caused the waters to come back down, and Pharaoh and his army was defeated there at the Red Sea. Amazing memories of deliverance, and he gave them many ways to recall that in their life. But in the story of when they left Egypt, and a common story would be, they quickly forgot that, though. Well, does anyone remember what they, as soon as they crossed over, they were thirsty and hungry. What was the first thought that they had? Does anyone remember? Where's the cucumbers, right? I mean, cucumbers are great. Melons are wonderful. I'm not going to disagree. But they had just witnessed God with all the plagues and the deliverance. And they sang and danced about it. And they forgot right away. And that's the story of the Old Testament. You know, God did these wondrous works and gave them ways to make the past present so they could trust. But over and over again, Israel forgot. And sinfulness and pride, preservation. Thank you very much. That word is like, what's the word I'm looking at? I'm mixing up several words in my brain right now, right? Several moments in which that happened there. Now, brothers and sisters, I really do believe that God is always working wondrously. And tonight, as we think about this, we could ask that same question for ourselves. Is God working wondrously today? What has he done in our lives these days, right? Well, I do believe God is always working to save and redeem his people so we can trust in him. That's the main thing, so that we can trust that he is always our God on our side. That's why he does wondrous things. I went to the last district convention, and I usually don't recommend going to synod conventions. Not the greatest experience in the world, but they had bishops from the Ethiopian Lutheran Church come and share stories of how the Holy Spirit was just going gangbusters there in Ethiopia and how the church was expanding. It was a marvelous witness. That church body was just growing like crazy. They're mobilizing pastors, deacons, deaconesses, lay people, evangelists. I mean, anyone. They'll throw them out there in order to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people. The Holy Spirit is just laid heavy on those people there. And he was sharing one story that has stuck with me about how good God is. There's a story he shared of a woman that it was like at a house, and she was sharing a gospel with a group of people in the house there. And at the front door, a group of armed men come to the door to do harm to the people there. So obviously they're scared, right? A very dangerous situation to be in. And so her and a couple of the other ladies that was in this group, they went down the hallway. All the rooms were down a hallway, and they went into the bathroom and they locked themselves in there. And they just started praying fiercely that God to deliver them and to take care of them at that moment. And so, long hallway of doors, right? And so they hear down at one end a door get busted down and people moving through. And they just hear this door by door coming down to their bathroom, right? And they're just praying to God that he would deliver them. And so the story goes, you know, at the bottom of the door, there's always a little crack. You can see light coming through it. And they saw at the bottom of the door a body in front of that door. Like, this was the door, the next door, they get busted down in this house. And the shadow, they're praying. And the shadow just is there and then moves on and busts down the next door and the next door and then leaves the place. Did not go into the bathroom. Why was that? Because God was watching over his people, continually doing wondrous works to protect his people from harm, to deliver them in their situations. He shared that story, and it just stuck with me. That's the sort of God we have that I trust in for my life. Now, brothers and sisters, that's like a wonderful story, and like remember it, and it's comforting. But God actually has done more wondrous things in your life, more that has delivered everyone here, even more so than those people in that bathroom. In your baptism, that was the most wondrous work of deliverance humanity can experience. In the baptismal waters, the cross of Jesus Christ transports all those thousands of years from that moment in time in which what Jesus accomplished there and comes into these waters, that grace that is found on the cross, is in these waters. And when you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God delivered you. A wondrous work in your life. Like, you're now free to be a child of God. Like, you know your future and what's going to happen with your life. Because you're in the hands of God and he's delivered you. A wondrous work that you know in your life, a miraculous work, is in your baptism. And he comes to you continually with that cross and that love and that healing when you take the Lord's Supper. Christ is present, comforting, and letting you know that your God is here and he's working. Brothers and sisters, God gave us his works so we may trust in him and have faith that he's in control of this world, control events, and is bringing about his will and deliverance of you and all of creation. So continue to trust in Christ Jesus and his good works. Amen.